Today we are fortunate to have Her Grace Shri Prithivilasini Mataji on the topic of Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikhand, chapter 5, verse number 78 onwards. Thank you very much, Mataji. Dandvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for your giving your very, very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us to on this topic. Now I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Yashomati Mataji.
Hare Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for your warm welcoming. And thanks to all the very wonderful devotees for joining us today in our study of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So we'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas on the call. Vancha kalpataru bhishcha kripa sindhupya evacha paditanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. We are continuing our study of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata. This is Adikhanda, chapter 5. So this is the story of how Nimai steals the food from the Brahmana. So here we have the prayers to Lord Chaitanya and his associates, and then we'll get started. Ajanu lambita bujau kanaka vadatau sankirtanai kapitarau kamalayadakshau vishvambarau dvijavarau yugadharma palau vande jagatpriyakarau karunavatarau jaiti jaiti deva krishna chaitanya chandro jaiti jaiti kirti tasya nitya pavitra jaiti jaiti bhritya Tasya Vishveshwa Murte Jayati Jayati Nrityan Tasya Sarva Priyanam. So far in chapter 5, what have we seen? We have seen that there was a Brahmana, and this Brahmana was a worshipper of Gopal and Shalagram Shilas, and by chance he came to the house of Jagannath Mishra. So this Brahmana had taken a strict vow that he would not eat anything before his Gopal deities had first eaten, his Shalagrama and Gopal had first eaten. So like this, he was staying in Jagannath Mishra's house and he desired to cook some bhoga for his deities and then honor prasadam. So at that time, the Brahmana, he began to cook and he started offering for the first time. So that was the first round he cooked and he was offering bhoga to his deities. But when he sat down and he meditated and invited the Lord to come and take the offerings, at that time, our beautiful Gaur Gopal, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, heard his prayers and came running to take all the prasadam, to take all the bhoga that was offered. So he put his hand and he took a handful of rice and he began to eat everything. But when the Brahmana just opened his eyes, he was completely shocked to see that the entire offering was spoiled. Jagannath Mishra started running behind the child to beat him and chastise him. But the Brahmana stopped him and told him this is not the behavior of an Arya. So Jagannath Mishra had to restrain himself, and then he requested the Brahmana to go and cook again for the second time. So the Brahmana went inside and he made a very beautiful offering and he brought it out and he again tried to offer the bhoga to the deities. But at this time, again, Nimai, he came running and he again came and he tried to eat the offering. Of course, he was restrained this time for the second time. He was restrained by the ladies in the house. He was kept by the ladies inside, but still somehow he managed to come out and he again took the offerings, and the Brahmana saw that and again he started exclaiming that alas, alas, the offering has been spoiled. So again Jagannath Mishra was very upset and he wanted to chastise the child, but the Brahmana told him not to do so, and Jagannath Mishra was feeling very, very bad because this Brahmana did not get anything to eat after all this endeavor. So at that time, the Brahmana had a realization and he told Jagannath Mishra that maybe it's not sanctioned for me to eat today. So you can just bring me some fruits and all that and I will be okay. But Jagannath Mishra was feeling extremely repentant and he was hanging his head down and he did not know what to say. So he was unable to lift his head. That's what Chaitanya Bhagavat says. So we are going to continue from there and see what happened for the third time. Okay, so I'll share the screen. Okay. So this was the last verse of yesterday, verse number 78, which is, feeling distressed, Jagannath Mishra was unable to raise his hand. He looked at the ground and he simply lamented. So he was very helpless. He tried to chastise his child. They tried to control the child. They tried to put him inside the rooms where the ladies were sitting. And still somehow Nimai actually ran away and he took the bhoga that was there in front of the Lord. Okay, so verse number 79. So it's a very beautiful verse. It says, Hinai Samai, at that time, who came? Vishwarupa Bhagavan. Who's Vishwarupa? Anyone would like to say?
Nimai's brother.
Nimai's brother, yes, he's Vishwarup. Isthane Ailena Mahajyoti Dham. So he was effulgent Mahajyoti, not ordinary Jyoti, he was Mahajyoti. So at that time, the most powerful and effulgent Vishwarupa came there. Sarva Angeni Rupama Lavanyera Sima Chaturdasha Bhuvanino Nahike Upama. There is no comparison to the matchless sweetness of Vishwarupa's bodily limbs. So here it is interesting. If you see the verse, it says Sarva Ange Nirupama. Sarva Ange means every bodily part is matchless. Lavanyera Sima, the limit of all Lavanya. So when we talk about beauty, there are two words that is used in Sanskrit language or in the native, many of the Indian languages. One is Saundarya and the other one is Lavanya. Anyone knows the difference between the two? Any guesses? Okay, so I'll tell you. Saundarya means that if you look at every single limb and every single bodily part, it looks beautiful. That is Saundarya. Lavanya means overall beauty, the overall effulgence and presence, the overall beauty. Sometimes some persons may have an overall presence. They might look overall beautiful. But if you go and examine every limb, if you go and examine the eye, nose, mouth, it might not so individually be beautiful. But the Lord and his expansions, they have both Lavanya, that is complete beauty. As soon as you see them, you find them beautiful. And they also have Saundarya. Every limb, like for example, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they gave very specific descriptions about his nose, how his nose looks like, how his eyes looks like. Everything is so perfect. So if everything is perfect and the overall beauty is also perfect, that person has Sarva Anga Nirupama, which is Saundarya, and Lavanya. They have both. Lavanya is the overall presence and the effulgence of that person. So like that, there is no comparison to the matchless sweetness of Vishwarupa's body limbs. His overall presence as well as every Anga of his body was looking perfect. स्कंदे यज्ञ सूत्र ब्रह्मा तेज मूर्ति मंता मूर्ति भेड़े जन्मिला आपनी नित्यानंदा. So, Skande Yajna Sutra, how was he dressed? He was looking very beautiful. He had from his shoulder, Skanda, he had a Yajna Sutra. Yajna Sutra is the Brahmanical thread. And not only that, he had Brahma Tejas. So, Brahma Tejas is the effulgence that a Brahmana based on a sadhana achieves. So, we saw in the very first verse that we read today, not only did he have Brahma Teja, but we saw he was Mahajyotir. So, he was so effulgent. So effulgent, and this effulgence was also from the Brahma Jyoti, Brahma Teja. So he had Brahmanical effulgence. So who is this Nityananda? He's the source of the Brahman effulgence, although in a different form. That is actually our Lord Nityananda. And this Vishwarupa is non-different from Nityananda. Sarva Shastra Shastrera Artha Sadaspura Jihvaya Krishna Bhakti Vakya Matra Karaya Sadaya. The purport of all the scriptures is eternally manifest on the tongue of Vishwarupa. Thus, he was always engaged in preaching devotional service to Lord Krishna. So, what is the perfection of all Shastra? We have discussed this many times. The perfection of all Shastra is actually devotional service unto Lord Krishna. So, in the tongue of Vishwarupa, Spuraye Jihvaya. Immediately what was coming out of Vishwarupa's tongue, it was non-stop the glories of Krishna. So he knew the purport of all the scriptures as devotional service to Lord Krishna. He never misinterpreted even a single purport of the scriptures, and he inspired all living entities. So this is what Vishwarupa was actually doing. He was an expert in Sarva Shastra, and he could understand that Krishna Bhakti is the ultimate. Krishna Bhakti Vyakya Matra Karaya Sadhaya. So that is what Vishwarupa was doing. Now, there's a little bit description about these terms, Mahajyoti, Brahma Teja, and all of that. So the light that illuminates material objects is generally called as Jyoti. So you all know the meaning of Jyoti. Jyoti means light, right? So what light? That which can illuminate anything in this world is called as Jyoti, material objects. But the light that illuminates spiritual objects is Shuddha Sattva. So when Vishwarupa entered, how did he look? He looked very, very effulgent from his, his very presence was very effulgent, spiritual. He was looking spiritually effulgent. So that is called a Shuddha Sattva in pure goodness, or the other term used for that is Mahajyoti. So now, why did Vishwarupa have Mahajyoti? Because he is the source of all the Jyoti, because he is non-different from Baladev, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence. So Vishwarupa is non-different from him, hence he had this very, very beautiful form that was looking effulgent. 83. Dekiya apurva murti tairthika brahmana muktahaya eka drishti chahe ghane ghana. Seeing this apurva murti, extraordinary, seeing his extraordinary beauty, the mendicant brahmana was struck with wonder and stared at him continuously. So this is what happens when we see someone so spiritually effulgent. We just cannot take away our eyes from them. So this brahmana, he was mugdhahai. He was completely struck with wonder, and he was constantly ekadrishti. He was constantly looking at Vishwarupa. He was unable to take out his eyes from Vishwarupa. Vipra bole kara putra ye mahashai sabe bole na ye mishvera tanaya. Tanaya means child, right? So the brahmana, when he saw this very beautiful form of Vishwarupa coming in front of him, he was struck with wonder, and he asked, whose child is this? He looks so effulgent. Whose son is this? And everyone said, he is Jagannath Mishra's son. So now the brahmana understood that this Vishwarup is the elder brother of Nimai, the mischievous Nimai. Shuniya santoshe vipra kaila alangina Dhanya pita mata yara ehena nandana. The Brahmana was so satisfied hearing this that he is the son of Jagannath Mishra, and he went and he embraced him. And as soon as he embraced Vishwaroop, he said, actually, the father and mother of this child is very, very glorious because they have given birth to such a great personality. So a personality can be immediately seen. If there is a very special, spiritually elevated person, they can be immediately recognized. Especially here we have Vishwaroop, who's non-different from Balaram. So obviously, the Brahmana was able to recognize him. Why did the Brahmana not recognize Nima yet? That's because that's the part of the pastime. And he was attracted to Nima. But this boy, Vishwaroop, was a little elderly. So he could have such kind of exchanges with Vishwaroop. And not only that, Nima had put him in a state of bewilderment till he revealed his own form. So verse 86. Viprera kariya Vishwarupa namaskara vasiya kahina kata amritera dhara. So Vishwarupa, as soon as he was embraced by the Brahmana, he first offered obeisances to the Brahmana. So that is cultured behavior. A guest had come to his house and he immediately offered obeisances to the Brahmana. Then he sat down and he began to speak very, very sweet words that was like a stream of nectar. Amritera dhara. Dhara means a stream. Amritera is nectar. So when the Lord speaks, what else do you expect? It's going to be a stream of nectar. So we saw that in the background, actually, everyone in the house was disturbed. Jagannath Mishra was disturbed because the Brahmana was not eating, and the Brahmana himself was disturbed because his offering was getting spoiled. So now we needed a person who would come and help with the situation. And it was so nice that just by the presence of Vishwaroop, the Brahmana felt so much calmness. And he felt very, very satisfied. He embraced this boy. And now it was this boy's turn to actually appease everybody. So now Vishwaroop decided to convince the Brahmana to cook again and actually eat. So what did he say?
Shubha dine tara maha bhagira udaya tumihena atiti yahar grihaya.
So he says, whoever receives a guest like you has attained great fortune on that auspicious day. Shubhadina. So Vishwaroop is telling, today is Shubhadina. It is a very auspicious day. Why? Because you have come. And because you have come as an Atithi. What is Atithi? Anyone knows?
Guest.
Guest, okay. Yes. What is the literal translation of Atithi?
Someone who appears unannounced.
Exactly. One who appears unannounced. A titi. Titi means a date. Okay. Atithi means one who doesn't give you a date ahead of time. Okay. I'm coming on 28th January 2022. No. He should come as a surprise. Then he's called as an atithi. So in those days, nobody gave you, intimation that they would come. So they would be called a titi. Okay. Not aditi. It is a titi. So atithi. Atithi is a guest who comes unannounced. So he's telling, Vishwaroop is telling, I'm very fortunate today because you have come and you have come as a guest unannounced, and it's my great fortune to serve you. It's our great fortune, our entire family's great fortune. So we have become Mahabhagya. So we're very fortunate. But then Vishwaroop continues,
Jagat shodite se tomar prayatna na atmanande purna hai karaha brahmana.
Now he begins to explain that though you have come, we are unable to serve you. So before he begins explaining that, he first glorifies the Brahmana. He tells, you have come as an atithi. But what sort of atithi are you? You're always self-satisfied. You don't require our help to you. You don't require us to feed you. Okay, you're self-satisfied, but still you travel from one place to other, not for your satisfaction because you're already happy. So not to, please your senses, you're coming from one house to the other to accept some food and enjoy. No, you're not coming for that. You're coming in order to sanctify the world. So that is the glory of great personalities. They go from home to sanctify the grihastha's home, not for their own sense enjoyment. Let's read the purport here, and then we'll see a few Bhagavatam verses that talk about this. So in text number 88, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he tells, Sri Vishwarupa Prabhu described the pure characteristics of a Parivrajaka to the mendicant Brahmana. The devotees of the Lord are always self-satisfied. They are filled with ecstasy by serving Krishna. Therefore, rather than traveling like mundane tourists, they visit attached householders in order to revive their Krishna consciousness. So it's very, very clear here that these Brahmanas, they are not going as a tourist. Sometimes we like to go to a place as a tourist and we stay in a Vaishnava's home. So that is our purpose. That is what we do. Okay, I want to visit Texas. So I go and I stay in Vinita Gandharvika Mataji's house. So then I'm a tourist. I'm not going there to sanctify. Obviously, I don't have the qualification. But great Brahmanas, what do? They go from house door to door to preach, to deliver the grihastha. So that is their purpose. So throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see many such examples, many, many examples of these, of different personalities who go from door to door and how they are glorified. So we see in the very first canto, chapter 4, this is such a beautiful verse, this glorifies Shukadev Goswami. Okay, when Parikshit Maharaj actually invites Shukadev Goswami to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam, at that time he says, Sagodohanamatram hi griheshu grihamedhinam avekshate mahabhagas tirti kurvam stat ashramam. Translation. He, Shukadeva Goswami, was accustomed to stay at the door of a householder only long enough for a cow to be milked. And he did this just to sanctify the residents. There's actually a glorification by Sutta Goswami, not by Parikshit Maharaj. Sutta Goswami, Shaunakadi Rishi, they request Sutta Goswami to describe the glories of Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is when this verse is spoken. So they say, we have heard a little bit about Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, but we request you to elaborate on it. So that's how the Shaunakadi Rishis, they ask Sutta Goswami. So this is one of the verses that is spoken in that context. They are describing Shukadeva Goswami. How is Shukadeva Goswami? He's such an advanced personality. He's Atmaram, right? The Atmaramas Chamunayo, in that verse also we see the qualities of advanced person. Actually, that was directed towards Shukadeva Goswami. So he was Atmaram, but he would go from one house to the other. He would go to the door. He would not so much enter the house and take advantage of those people there. But how long would he stay there? He would stay there only long enough for a cow to be milked. Okay. And why does he go there? Just to sanctify the residents. So that is the purpose of these great personalities visiting grihasthas. So they would take alms from a fortunate householder, but that was only to sanctify the residents by their auspicious presence. Therefore, Shukadev Goswami is an ideal preacher established in the transcendental position. From his activities, those who are in the renounced order of life and dedicated to the mission of preaching the message of Godhead should learn that they have no business with householders, save and except to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Such asking of alms from householders should be for the purpose of sanctifying his home. One should not go and ask alms for one's own sense gratification, rather for purifying or sanctifying the grihastha's home. One who is in the renounced order of life should not be allured by the glamour of the householder's worldly possessions and thus become subservient to worldly men. For one who is in the renounced order of life, this is much more dangerous than drinking poison and committing suicide. So Prabhupada, he writes in the purport, that a person in the renounced order of life, he may go to a grihastha's home. But what is the internal purpose? The internal purpose of this person is to sanctify that home and give them Krishna consciousness. He doesn't go there for his own sense enjoyment. And Prabhupada says, if one is doing that for sense enjoyment, then it is worse than drinking poison. You know what is worse than this? Worse than this is judging a great Vaishnava who has gone to a Grihastha's home thinking that he's gone there for sense gratification. That is a greater offense. So these great Vaishnavas, these great sannyasis, they are not there to enjoy the opulence, insignificant opulence given by a Grihastha. They are not there. They are there for a higher purpose, and we should surely acknowledge that and not get into random judgments. Okay. One more verse from Srimad Bhagavat. Very, very sweet verse. Everyone knows this verse, right? Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani verse. This was again spoken by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Vidura. Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas Tirthi Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantastena Gadabhratha. Translation, my Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. So they carry the holy places in their heart. Because you carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into pilgrimage. So even Vidura, we see that when he came back to the palace, he was not there for, again, to enjoy the comforts of the palace. He was rather there to deliver everybody. So that's what he was trying to do with Dhritarashtra as well. And later when he comes back, again, Yudhishthira Maharaj talks about the same point. He says that the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura. What is the analogy? Just like how electricity is manifested within an electric bulb, a pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of human being by an atmosphere surcharged by the presence of Lord's unalloyed devotees. And there is one more verse in a similar context that says that after constant use of the water of the Ganges, one may get purified, but one gets purified within a few moments of an association of a devotee. So Swardhuni, which is Ganges, Anusevaya, you keep doing constant service or you use the Ganges constantly to purify yourself. But if you take the association of a great devotee, within a few moments, you can actually get purified. So that is the business of great personalities coming and giving their association to us. This is another beautiful verse, and this is directly from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Prithu Maharaj, he receives the four Kumaras. So when Prithu Maharaj receives the four Kumaras, imagine Prithu Maharaj was such a great king. He was the king of the entire earth. And he actually, when he sees the four Kumaras, he doesn't know how to actually, he feels very incapable of even glorifying them or incapable of even asking them how they are doing, because he knows that they are doing well because they are great Vaishnavas. So it's a very beautiful description of how he receives the four Kumaras. And what does he say? He says, a person who's not very rich and is attached to family life becomes highly glorified when saintly persons are present in his home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors water, a sitting place, a paraphernalia for reception are glorified, and the home itself is also glorified. So this is our business. So when a great personality comes, what do? We immediately welcome them with open arms, and at least we should give them at least water. We may not be able to give them, you know, if we are not very well-to-do, we may not be able to give them a great meal, a great opulent meal, but at least one should be able to give water. There is a very nice explanation by Srila Prabhupada, you know, this last portion of the purport. It's very nice, so I'm going to read it. This is what he says. If a householder is to receive a saintly person, he has to receive his entourage also. It is said in the Shastras that Durvasa Muni was always accompanied by 60,000 disciples, and that if there was a little discrepancy in their reception, he would be very angry and would sometimes curse that host. The fact is that every householder, regardless of the position or economic condition, can at least receive saintly guests with great devotion and offer them drinking water. For drinking water is available always. In India, the custom is that if an ordinary person is offered a glass of water, if he suddenly visits, the custom is that even an ordinary person is offered a glass of water if he suddenly visits, and one cannot offer him foodstuffs if one cannot offer him foodstuffs. If there is no water, then one can offer him a sitting place. And if it is on straw mats, if one has no straw mat, he can immediately cleanse the ground and ask the guest to sit there. Supposing that a householder cannot even do that, then with folded hands, he can simply receive the guest saying welcome. And if he cannot do that also, then he should feel very sorry for his poor condition and shed tears and simply offer obeisances with his whole family, wife, children. In this way, he can satisfy any guest, even if the guest is simply a saintly person or a king. So these are the different things one can do depending on the economic condition or the position they are in. At least if you cannot give an opulent meal, at least give water. If you cannot give water, at least offer a sitting place with straw mat. If you don't even have a straw mat at home, immediately cleanse the ground and ask the guest to sit there. And if you cannot do even that, then fold your hands and simply receive the guest saying welcome. And if you cannot even do that, you should feel very, very sorry for your poor condition and shed tears and simply offer obeisances with the whole family, wife, children. So this is how you receive a saintly person or a king. This is very beautiful. And the next verse says the opposite about if people, on the contrary, even though full of opulence and material prosperity, any householder's house where the devotees of the Lord are never allowed to come in and where there is no water for washing their feet, it is said, considered to be a trees with all venom and serpents live. So these are some things about reception of guests. And I think this verse was covered earlier by Sachipran Prabhu last week when he started this chapter. This is when Vasudev, he meets Gargamuni. He tells Gargamuni, before he requests Gargamuni to name his child, he tells, "My dear Lord, O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another, not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas, householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another." So like this Srimad Bhagavatam, it goes on describing about the importance of receiving guests. So one should have that in mind and receive guests very nicely. Okay. So after Vishwarup said this, he said, "Jagat Shodite, you have come here for purifying the entire world. You're not coming here for your own satisfaction because you're Atmananda Purna. You're completely satisfied in yourself. Bhagya bada tumi hena atiti amara abhagya vaki kahiba upastamara. It is our great fortune that we have a guest like you, but we are also unfortunate. We are also abhagya. Why? Because you are fasting. You are doing upasa. You are doing upavasa." So he says, we are fortunate today. It has become a great fortunate day. But at the same time, we become unfortunate when you do not eat anything. Tumi upavasa kari thakayara ghare swartha tahara amangala phalatare. And when you fast, when Atithi comes to one's house and he's fasting, he's not getting anything to eat, then it only bears inauspicious fruits for the householder, right? We are capable, but we are not taking care of you and you're fasting. So it is so inauspicious towards us. It's an inauspicious sign. Harisha painu bada tomara darshane Vishada painu bada e sabasravane. I'm greatly satisfied by seeing you, but at the same time, I'm very sad to hear what had happened. What happened? His brother took away the offerings. By seeing you, I'm jubilant, but because you're fasting, I'm unhappy. Therefore, I'm very happy and I'm very sad. So simultaneous happiness and sadness. Vipra bole kichu dukana bhavihamane phalamula kichu ami kari bhavajane. So the Brahman says, don't worry, it's okay, Vishwarup, don't feel so sad. I will eat phala and mula. Mula's roots. phala is fruits. So I will eat fruits and roots. Don't worry. I'll cut that up, offer it to my Gopal and accept it. Don't worry, he says. Then 93. Vanavasi ami anna kothaya vapai. Praya ami vane phala mula matra khai. He says, I live in the forest. I'm Vanavasi. It's not that I live in the towns and cities all the time. I'm always on the move. I always live in forests. So it's not that I get rice every day, right? So I live on fruits and roots that is available readily in the forest. I'm accustomed to it. I'm accustomed to eating fruits and roots. So you don't worry. It's okay. You're fine. You're not offending an atithi. Everything is okay. I will just offer fruits and roots and I will eat that. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.25 talks about people who live in the forests. Who are they? They are considered to be in Satvikas. And those who live in grama or cities or towns are called as Rajasikas. So generally, we people, we are accustomed to eating rice, chapati, dal, everything, pasta, pizza, everything. So we are Rajasikas. And the people who live in the forest, they just live for the sake of keeping their body and soul together. So they take voluntary austerities and they are called as Satvikas. So that's a nice statement from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.25. I'll open up that verse for your reference. Here we go. Yeah. This is the direct verse. Residence in the forest is in the mood of goodness. Residence in a town is in the mood of passion. Residence in a gambling house displays the quality of ignorance, and residence in a place where I reside is transcendental. Such a beautiful verse. And this is by Krishna. So he's telling that a person who resides near a temple, basically, where the deity is present, is transcendental. So all the dhams are transcendental. Even a place where there is a temple, there is a deity, or even our own homes where we have deities is considered transcendental. So one may argue that even there are some creatures in the forest like wild boars and insects and trees. So are they all in the mode of goodness? Not necessarily. The point here is that when a human being lives in a forest, he's like not really like a, you know, when a human being taking up austerities, a cultured human being taking up austerities goes on vanaprastha or sannyas and he's living in the forest, he's automatically put to the mode of goodness because he's in a solitary life. He's free from all the hustle bustle of this materialistic society. And he's not passionate. He's not ambitious. He doesn't have to take care of the family and other duties. So such a person is automatically by force put into sattva guna. So that was the verse that that was discussed here. So this brahmana, he's telling Vishwaroop that I'm accustomed to it. And this is nothing new to me. I can just take fruits and roots and I'm satisfied with it. Because I'm here traveling around in this town, I'm eating rice, but it's not a necessity for me. Then, kadachit kona divase va khai anna siha yadi nirvirodhe haya upasanna. I seldom eat rice, only when it is easily available. Nirvirodhe, only when it is obtained without any obstacle. So only at that time I'm going to eat rice. So only when it's easily available, I eat rice. So it doesn't matter. I can just take fruits. 95. Ye santosha pailina tomar darshane taha te koti koti karilum bojane. So he says that actually, you know what? I've become very, very satisfied just by seeing you. Just by seeing you, it feels like I've eaten millions of meals. I feel so satisfied. So when sometimes, I think many of you must have experienced this. When you see a great personality, when you take association of a great person, or when you go to the temple, or when you take very good darshan, you feel so satisfied, right? Even if you're not eating, it's fine. You can sit when you're sometimes when you're hearing Harikatha in the temple, in the association of devotees, when you are on a yatra, you feel so satisfied internally. So when you're satisfied internally, external bodily demands are somewhat suppressed. Not that we are so transcendental that we can give up eating and drinking, but somehow, at least temporarily, for some time, these external bodily demands feel suppressed. You don't feel the pain or you don't feel the hunger. Even when you are in the service of the Lord in the temple, where you might be standing for hours together, you might be cooking for like several hours, but you will not feel hungry even for a minute, or you might not feel the stress. But once you come home, immediately your leg starts paining, your hand is paining, you feel sleepy, all these take over. So in that atmosphere that is surcharged, sometimes we just forget everything because our internals, our soul is actually satisfied. So like that, this Brahmana is telling that actually, you know what, I feel so full. I feel like I've eaten millions of meals just by getting a darshan. So that's what he tells Vishwaroop. Palamula naivedya ye kichu thake ghare taha ana giya aji kariba ahare. So now he tells Vishwaroop, you please go and bring any fruits, roots or prasad that you already have, and I will eat that today. So it appears that the Brahmana is trying to mainly appease Vishwaroop, because Vishwaroop was feeling so bad at this point. Uttarana kare kichu mishra jagannata dhuka bhave mishra shire diyadu ihata. Jagannath Mishra, however, did not speak anything. He just held his head in his hands in distress. So Jagannath Mishra felt so bad. He was still not relieved. Vishwarupa bolena balita vasi bhaya sahaje karuna sindhu tumi mahasaya. Vishwarup said, I hesitate to speak, but I know you are an ocean of mercy. The word vasi means to feel, to realize, to think, to get. So he says, I know you are an ocean of mercy. So he's trying to somehow entice the Brahmana to eat something. So, paradhuke katara swabhava sadhu jana parera anada se badaya nukshana. Now he's telling the Brahmin that paradhukha katara, you are the nature of saintly persons is to be distressed on seeing the sufferings of others. They always try to make others happy. See how nicely, how sweetly Vishwaroop is talking. Vishwaroop, he says, you know, you are an ocean of mercy. You are paradhukha dukhi. So please eat for us. Please, he's requesting him. If it's not too much of a trouble, please cook for Krishna again and please accept those offerings. Eteke apane yadi niralasyaha ya krishnera naivedya kara randhana kariya. So please cook, make us happy. You're paradukha dukhi, you're very merciful, you're karuna sindhu. So please take a little bit of voluntary hardship and again try to cook. Tabe aji amara ghushti rayata dhukka sakala ghuchaya pai parananda sukha. Then my family's distress will be vanquished and we will attain transcendental happiness. It's a beautiful relationship. So we feel happy when others are fed nicely. And that is what Vishwaroop is trying to indicate here. And that is the mood of any host, right? So that is what we want to do. We want to see that the person who has come has eaten nicely. So he's requesting the Brahmin again and again. Viprabole randana kari londu ibara tata piha krishna na dilena kari bara. The Brahmana said, I've already cooked twice, yet Krishna still did not allow me to eat. Okay, the Brahmana is arguing. Pain bhujilana aji nahi kali khana krishna icha nahi kena karahayatana. Aji nahi kali khana. I have therefore understood that he has not allotted any rice for me today. If Krishna's sanction is not there, Krishna icha nahi, if he is not given his sanction, why should we endeavor? Koti bhakshya dravya yadi take nija ghare krishna agnya haila se kai bare pare ye dine krishne rayare likhana na haya koti yatna karuka Tatapi Siddhanaya. One may have unlimited foodstuffs at home, but he can eat only with Krishna's sanction. If Krishna does not allot anything on some day, then even by endless endeavor, one will never achieve a thing. This is very true. We might have a lot of stocked grains, we might have a lot of foodstuffs, groceries at home, but if Krishna has not sanctioned that we eat at home today, we may not be able to eat. Right? Many of you might have faced this. Sometimes it might not happen very often, but from time to time it does happen. You might be held up with something else, you may not be able to eat that meal today, right? So it is said that every meal is actually written by Krishna. You're going to get this meal, and that is whatever he sanctions, only we obtain. Prabhupada also gives this example of an elephant. He says, see, Krishna knows to take care of every living entity. So the elephant, he needs tons and tons of food, but Krishna is providing that food. If Krishna decides, he will provide. If Krishna decides that he's not going to provide, he will not provide. That's all. It is as simple as that. Not only that, if you read the purport or the commentary here, there is a very, very important point that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur brings out. Not only is food sanctioned by Krishna, and by Krishna's mercy you get food, there is another thing that is possible only by Krishna's mercy, service to Krishna. So we may desire to serve Krishna, but if Krishna has not sanctioned that service, we may not be able to do it. Just like we say that we cannot go to Vrindavan without Radharani or Vrindadevi's mercy, right? Like that, even to do a service, if Krishna has not sanctioned that service for you, you may not be able to do it. And many of us must have had such experiences. We might endeavor, we might say that we want to do this service, we might try very hard, but maybe that day Krishna did not sanction that service for us. It might be going to someone else. So everything, even our capability to serve, even that is sanctioned by Krishna. But that is not an excuse, again. It is not an excuse to tell, to sit back lazy and say, oh, Krishna did not sanction it for me, so it didn't happen. That's not the point. But sometimes in spite of prayatna, in spite of endeavor, there could be situations where it was not sanctioned for us. Maybe it was sanctioned for someone else, right? So there are two things here. One is not to sit back lazy and blame Krishna. That is one aspect. The other aspect is, putting the blame on Krishna all the time. See, he did not sanction this for me. Very, very bad. That also we should not do. We should understand maybe that service was meant to be done by someone else and someone else got that opportunity, right? So either way, our duty is to feel grateful, whether we got the service or not. So if we feel grateful next time, somehow that service will come to us. So there is some hope if we can serve Krishna selflessly. So very nicely, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, though one may have various foodstuffs at home for Krishna's enjoyment, if he does not sanction his remnants, no one will receive them. And if Krishna does not favor one, then one will certainly be unsuccessful in spite of unlimited endeavors. Service to the Supreme Lord is dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Mundane endeavor cannot produce success. So this is something we can always meditate on. Nishadeda prahara duyo vayaya ihate ki arapaka karite yuyaya. Now the Brahmin is telling that if Krishna may have not sanctioned this for me, and moreover, it has become very late in the night. It is in the middle of the night. Nisha means night. Nisha dede prahara. So it is gone much past, early night. It's middle of night. Is it proper to cook at this time? Who cooks middle of night? So it is not reasonable. It is yuyaya means reasonable. So it's not at all reasonable for me to cook now. Atayeva ajiyatna nakariha ara phala mula kichu matra karimu ahara. Therefore, do not make any further arrangements for cooking today. I will simply eat some fruits and roots. Kichu means a little. So this word kichu is used in so many verses here. Vishwarupa bolena nahi ka kona dosha tumi paka kari le se sabara santosha. But then Vishwarup said, again Vishwarup comes back and he says, actually there is no fault if you cook. I know it is late in the night, but still you can cook because everyone here will be satisfied. एता बोली विश्वरूपा धरिला चरणा साधिते लागिला सबे करिते राधाना. एंड एज अ फाइनल रिसोर्ट व्हाट डिड विश्वरूप डू? ही हेल्ड ऑन टू द फीट ऑफ दिस ब्राह्मण. सो विश्वरूपा धरिला चरणा, सो ही वेंट एंड हेल्ड द ब्राह्मणा'स फीट एंड ही सेड प्लीज 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 यू हैव टू कुक. विश्वरूप कॉट होल्ड ऑफ द ब्राह्मणा'स फीट एंड एवरी वन ऑल्सो रिक्वेस्टेड हिम टू कुक. विश्वरूप देखिया मोहित विप्रवर करी बरंधन विप्र बलिला उथारा. ऑब्वियसली ही वॉज एन्चेंटेड, यू नो, दिस विश्वरूप इज फॉलिंग एट हिज फीट एंड बेगिंग हिम, व्हाट एल्स कैन द ब्राह्मण डू? दिस वॉज द फाइनल रिसोर्ट एंड द ब्राह्मण बिकेम मोहित. विश्वरूपे देखिया मोहित विप्रवर करी बरंधन विप्र बलित उथारा. सो फाइनली ही सेड आई विल कुक. संतोषे सबे हरि बलिते लगीला स्थान उपस्कार सबे करिता लगीला एंड एवरीवन वाज हैप्पी. सो व्हेन एवरीवन वाज हैप्पी एंड दे सॉ दैट फाइनली द ब्राह्मण अग्रीड, एवरीवन सेड हरि 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 हरि. सो इवन हैप्पीनेस दे चैंट हरि हरि, जस्ट लाइक इन वृंदावन व्हेन यू गो एवरीवन चैंट्स राधे राधे फॉर एवरीथिंग. इफ यू हैव टू मूव राधे राधे, इफ यू हैव टू वॉक इट्स राधे राधे, लाइक दैट. सो एवरीवन सेड हरि हरि, थैंक गॉड, यू नो, लाइक दैट. आतेय आते व्याते स्थान उपस्करी सर्वजने रंधेरा सामग्री अनिला तत क्षणे. देन दे क्विकली केम इन द किचन and brought all the samagri, all the ingredients for cooking. Chalilena vipravara karite randhana sishu avariya rahilena ya sarvajana. Now comes the problem, right? So everyone was worried about Nimai. So this is the third effort. The third effort has to be successful. And who is the problem creator here? It is our little Nimai. So everyone's eyes was on Nimai. As soon as the kitchen was clean, the Brahmana was sent in. Everyone looked at Nimai and they said, okay, this time Nimai has to be under our control. So everyone escorted Nimai where? To another room. And they locked him inside that room and people sat around Nimai. So the ladies went inside, they took Nimai inside and they sat. And what did Jagannath Mishra do? Jagannath Mishra was the most affected in this entire pastime. He was feeling so miserable that he even stopped speaking. And Vishwarup was speaking and he just gave up. You know, he was just putting his hand on his face and his head down and he was so upset. So Jagannath Mishra, he said, okay, I will be the doorkeeper. So he went and he sat in front of the door where the child was detained. Very, very strict people. So they had detained the child inside the room. Okay. सबे बोले ना बंदा बहिरा दूराया बहिरा है ते ये ना नहीं पारे आरा. Everyone said lock the door from outside so he cannot go out. So Jagannath Mishra bolted the door and he sat down there. So that way the boy from inside he cannot open it and run out, right? So from outside now the door was locked. मिश्रा बोले भाला भाला ये युक्ति हाया भंदिया दुयारा सबे बहिरा अचाया. जगन्नाथ मिश्रा सेड दैट्स अ गुड आइडिया. Thus, Jagannath Mishra and others sat outside after latching the door from outside. Now there is no way to escape. But do you think Nimai would have escaped? What do you feel?
Of course,
Nimai would have escaped.
Of course, who else?
He did it in his sannyas ashram also, the same thing.
Correct, in the sannyas ashram also he did the same thing. Very nice. Yeah, thank you Mataji for that. So who else escaped like this from locked doors when he was a baby?
Krishna.
Yes. Very nice. So now let's see what happened. घरे थाकी स्त्री गणा बोले न चिंता नहीं निद्रा गेला आरा कीचो ना जाने नी माय. एंड ऑल द लेडीज फ्रॉम इनसाइड दे वर एक्सक्लेमिंग डोंट वरी पीपल आउटसाइड यू हैव लैच द डोर यू आर सिटिंग आउटसाइड डोंट वरी निमाय स्लीपिंग इनसाइड ही कैन नॉट डू एनीथिंग नाउ. ओके सो निमाय वेंट टू स्लीप अपरेंटली वेंट टू स्लीप. ए माते शिशु राखिले न सर्वजन विप्रेर हैला कतक क्षणे ते रंधाना they guarded the child in this way, and the Brahmana in the kitchen, focus in the kitchen, finished cooking. Okay. Cooking, all cooking over. Now it's time for all the drama, because now he has to make the offering. And that is when usually the offering gets spoiled, not when the cooking was going on, right? So now the time was nearing, the very crucial time. Ama upaskari se sukriti brahmana dhyane vasi krishnera karila nivedana. So this pious brahmana, Sukrit, obviously he's a great Sukrit. Look at him. He has come to Jagannath Mishra's house. He has seen Nimai. He has seen Vishwaroop. So the pious brahmana prepared a plate for offering and then sat in meditation, and he offered krishnera karila nivedana. So he offered the food to Krishna. Jani lena antaryami Sri Sachi Nandana Chitte Ache Viprera Divena Darshana. So who's Antaryami? Sachi Nandan. The super soul Sachi Nandan knew everything. He didn't have to go and watch him cook in the kitchen to see at what time he's going to go and offer. No. Being the super soul, he knows every activity of every living being. So he knows now the Brahmana has sat down for meditation, and he knows that it is time for him to get out. So at this point, he had already decided to give darshan to the Brahmana. Chitta, chitte, he had desired. Viprera dibena darshan. So he had decided to give darshan to the Brahmana. What did he do? Nidra Devi sabare ishvara ichaya mohilena sabeche achet. Cheshta Nidrayaya. Thus, by the will of the Supreme Lord, Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, deluded everyone into deep sleep. Exactly like how Krishna, Vasudev had to take Krishna out from the jail, right? Everyone fell asleep. Nidra Devi took care. She put everyone to sleep. All the guards were all sleeping, and the chains broke, and Krishna was taken out. So like that, by the will of the Supreme Lord, Ishvara Icha, Krishna, just by his will, things can happen. So he is called a Satya Sankalpa, meaning if he desires, he doesn't have to take the effort to make it happen. Just by his desire, automatically it happens. So that is Satya Sankalpa Shakti. So Krishna, Ishvara Icha, he had this Ishvara Icha. By the will of the Supreme Lord, what happened? Nidra Devi, the goddess of sleep, came and deluded everyone. Mohilena sabe acheshta nidrayaya. She put everyone to sleep. So by then what happened was everyone thought it is late in the night, and Nimai also was appearing to sleep. So they knew that Nimai would soon fall asleep and there is no need to guard him further. And by the will of the Supreme Lord, however, the opposite happened. Everyone, they were thinking Nimai will sleep now. He will be put to sleep now. He is a little baby. He's going to go into deep sleep and we will guard him. But by the thought of the Lord, by the Icha of the Lord, they all went to sleep. By the tip of the sari of Nidra Devi, now Nidra Devi didn't have to take much effort to put everyone to sleep. So nicely it is explained here. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is telling, by the tip of the sari of Nidra Devi, everyone went to sleep except Nimai. So that's what happened in the house. Ye sthane karena vitra anna nivedana ailena se sthane Sri Sachinandana. So our Sri Sachinandan, immediately he goes out. He doesn't need, to open a latch door. This is the Supreme Lord. He just goes out, Sri Sachinandan, then went to the place where the Brahmana was making his offering. And what was happening? The rest of them were sleeping, deep in sleep. Nidra Devi took care. Balaka dekhiya viprakare hai haya sabe nidrayaya ke hasunite na paya. On seeing the child, the Brahmana cried, hai hai hai, he's come back again, alas, alas. But what happened? Nobody heard him this time. So Jagannath Mishra could not go using a stick behind Nimai. Nothing could happen. Everyone was in deep sleep, including Jagannath Mishra, outside the door. So this is how Krishna works. Now we are going to stop. Okay. So because this is the climax, and we'll wait for 3 more days to hear what happened after that. Did this Brahmin get the darshan of Krishna, of Nimai? What sort of darshan did he get? How did Nimai talk to him? So all that we will see in our next class, because from verse 124, Nimai is going to talk. The Lord said, right? It begins with the Lord said. So the conversation of Nimai and the Brahmana and the darshan of the Brahmana, we will see in the next class. Exactly 9 o'clock for me. So any questions, comments, realizations? Everyone has been put to sleep by Nidra Devi.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
No, Hare Krishna.
Weird. Can you hear me? I'm on my headphone.
Your voice is very far away.
Okay, let me just get off of them. Hold on a second. There. Can you hear me better now? You can't hear me? Let's see.
It's low, but still I can hear you.
Okay. I was just thinking, you know, when you were speaking about how the Brahmana was thinking that I'm not destined to eat today. And I'm just remembering a comment that my mother-in-law always makes. She goes, what does she say? It has been written after we finished a meal, she says.
Oh, Mataji, actually, I can't hear you. Sorry. I'm trying, but I'm not able to hear. Can we do something else so that you can speak in your usual voice?
How's this? Better now?
Mataji, we could hear a little bit. She's saying that after we eat, her mother-in-law will say that on every rice, it is written the name. That's what you're going to tell, Mataji?
She was going to say, can you hear me better now or no? Still can't hear me. I don't know why, but okay. Anyway, I'm trying to talk louder, but she says, how's this? Any better? Not better.
Okay. I think Vinita Mataji has to turn.
Okay, she says, oh, at least it's been, it was written that we have one more day of a meal. Something in Telugu I can't explain in English very clearly, but you know, it's written that we have one more day it is written that we eat today or something like that. And I was just thinking, you know, that mentality of understanding that Krishna is in control even of what we eat, or if we eat, has such a powerful effect.
Wait. Vinita Mataji, can you tell what she said so far?
Yeah, Mataji, she's saying the same thing. Every meal is written to us. That's what her mother-in-law used to say. And then how Krishna is controlling what we should eat also. That's what, right, Mataji, you're talking?
Yeah, ante, అది ఒక విధమైన మనకి ఇది ఇస్తుంది ఏంటంటే డిటాచ్మెంట్ అన్నమాట. ఎందుకంటే మనకి రాసి పెట్టుంది వాళ్ళు తినాలని, ఈ రోజు కూడా రాసి పెట్టుంది తినాలని. దట్ మేక్ సెన్స్?
యా. So that's what she's saying, Mataji. Today it is written to us to eat. That's why we get to eat. So that way, you know, you get some detachment to things. But, you know, we don't know whether if it is written for tomorrow or not. So today it is written. So we got it. That's what you're talking, Mataji?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji, for that very sweet.
You have to give one Telugu class, Mataji. I'm waiting for that.
Oh, Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji? Yeah, we'll have one.
Yeah, Paneshwari Mataji only.
Yeah, we should have one. Obviously not me.
No, Mataji, I love to hear yourself also.
You don't want to. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharajas. Mataji was also saying the thought itself is also very powerful. The thought that, you know, every meal is like, every meal, whether we eat or not, or even the meal itself is controlled by Krishna, and the thought itself is very powerful. So I was also thinking to that we should be very grateful every time with prasada. We honor prasadam and not like just talk or watch something, and that's what I do. So
yeah. It reminds me also of the Christian faith, right? Like they always pray, like they thank the Lord for the food, and of course we do
Mahaprasada.
I know that is like so much more like with gratitude and all that, but just it resonates with their faith too. Yeah,
but they pray, but they eat meat.
They eat meat, yeah.
Then there is one more verse also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, no Mataji. Bhakta pade dhuliyar, bhakta pade jal, bhakta bhukta avashashti na mahabal. So that also brings so much of, you know, we should, how grateful, I mean, at least I'm talking for myself, we should be for the prasadam. Just take it for granted. Just because it is offered to Krishna, so there is no sin. That's wonderful. The one thing that I want to say, Mataji, it was such a lively class, Mataji. It is like a, I felt it was like kids' class, you know. It was so much fun. You cannot get, you know, your attention away from the class. You were into it so much that you got us involved into it. It was such a wonderful. I mean, even we, all of us, we know what's going to happen, but you left it right there, you know. And that you'll at least complete that now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will say, you know, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know the pastime, not to this details, but still. And you just ended it. You're like such a wonderful storyteller, Mataji. I think you're awesome. Thank you so much for your
Thank
service.
So much for your blessings, Mataji.
Blessings. I can only pray, Mataji.
Yeah, I could see how much you still have that, you know, whenever you talk, you have that inspiration to serve Vaishnava. So you're quoting verses of Vaishnava's remnants and all that. I was thinking that's your mood. You bring it out every time you speak.
But yes, it was so wonderful. Thank you so much for doing this, and please continue doing so. We love your association, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Glories to Prabhupada. Glories to you. Beautiful, beautiful session as usual. Kids storing, grandma telling story to kids. Always so nice
to
hear from
you. Thank you for setting the stage, Mataji, for giving all the inputs before class.
No, nothing. So I actually, in the last, when you were about to end, my internet got somehow disconnected. Oh. I got lost. What Paneshwari Mataji was adding, I could barely hear her.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just...
Yeah, so Vinita was telling that from what Paneshwari Mataji said, is that that point that, you know, it says that every grain, the Brahmana says that every day, whatever we eat is sanctioned by the Lord. If the Lord desires, only we get. We might have a stock of grains or whatever in the house. We might have even cooked. But if it's not written on our head that we are going to eat it, that it is for us, it'll never happen. So like that, you know, traditionally also, like she was mentioning her parents and in-laws, and they always say that every grain is written on your head, like if you're going to eat it or not, it is meant, like whether you can take it or not. So that's what, and you should feel grateful. If you don't feel grateful for what you are getting, then, you know, there's no appreciation for Krishna's mercy like that. So every time we feel grateful, we offer prayers and we take it with a lot of grateful feeling that Krishna has bestowed his mercy today, that I'm able to eat so much.
Very nice, very nice. Even in Hindi, there is a saying, you know, dane dane pe likha hai khane wale ka naam. You know, that sometimes we cook food, we just make a plate, but then guests come and then we have to offer it. And so everything is gone. You know, it always happens. So yeah, every grain has a name written on it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Paneshwari Mataji. And thank you, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna ji, Preeti Vilasini, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam. Shri Prabhupada, Sri Gurudev ki jai, Gopinath ki jai. Mataji, you explained, hi, Prasadam, so nicely, remembering Shridam Vrindavanam, H.S. Radhanath Maharaj is explaining that story and everybody is like that hearing Mataji so sincerely. Evening class, morning class, afternoon class, I don't know where, what time you are taking rest, Mataji. You all are working hard. And Mataji, now after attending Bhakti evening class of Nectar of Instruction and Srila Prabhupada Sloka and H.G. Sukheswari Mataji's class, now little bit confidence that I can complete my Bhakti, Bhakti Shastri Mataji. That much potency in all your class, H.G. Kipidasundari Mataji, H.G. Priti Vilasani, H.G. Lelitangi Mataji, H.G. Sukheswari Mataji, Bhakti Sangha, all teachers, Koti Koti Ranvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Kije, Gopinath Kije. So nicely explained about the story. Past time we hear so many times, Mataji, but still we love to hear again and again and again. And what should our mood when we, in the afternoon class is always we are cooking prasad.
So all whatever you teach us, all the potency enter in prasadam, and because of COVID everybody is working home, so they all hearing Krishna Katha Krishna unconsciously or consciously, they are hearing Mataji. Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai Gopinath Ki Jai. Thank you Mataji. Hare Krishna.
So it reminds me of when I was in the CST and EST time. It would be cooking time. And it was so nice to hear, and especially the class. It's like every day you put the class and then you cook. It was so nice. I think.
What time the California Mataji? What time at present?
Now it's 9.
Night. At night, 9 o'clock.
No, morning, dear. Morning, Mataji. Morning. So I see the messages. I think Paneshwari Mataji explained further about what she was saying. Thank you. Anyone else, Mataji?
Mataji, thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else? Anybody else to say sorry?
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, Dhanyavad Pranam. What a wonderful class, Mataji. I did have one question. Is it all right for people to cook at any point, any time during the day? Because the Brahmana was requested to cook so late in the night, and he was able to offer and, honor the prasadam. So are there any rules on it, or...
Generally, the deities at home, they are like persons, right? So they are like a part of our family. We generally do not like to wake up the deity in the middle of the night and, disturb like that, and then cook late in the night. So everyone has a schedule at home. Of course, in the house, it may not be a very strict schedule. But to an extent, we like to have a schedule. In the temple, it's stricter. So very late in the night, when the deities have to rest, at that time, if you're cooking and waking up the deities and offering, then it's not a very great idea. But it's, Vishwaroop was actually literally begging him. And it's okay in sometimes, because it's the principle that matters. Ultimately, if you feel your deities are going to go hungry to bed, you could rather, request them, please eat a little bit and go to bed, at least some fruits. So the idea is that generally we don't go late in the night and cook and disturb deities and even disturb your own digestive system. It's not a great idea. But exceptions are always possible. Like I remember even in my own home, but it so happened that I didn't make the night offering for my deities, but I did wake them up quite late, and I made an offering just to make sure that they don't go to bed hungry. Happened in the temple as well by my mistake, or I don't know whose mistake, whatever, but in one of the temples that I was there once, the lunch offering was not made. It was a big offense, actually, very, very big offense. And we didn't know that the cook that day had not turned up. We got to know very late that the cook did not turn up in the temple. We were given the report kind of late. And I was shocked because I was in charge of that. Unfortunately, I was in charge of arranging the cooks for every day. And that particular day, I didn't know that the cook didn't go. She didn't communicate. And she was thinking something different. And she didn't end up going to the kitchen that day. And we got a report at around 1 o'clock post Krishna's eating time in the afternoon that the cook didn't turn up today. Thoroughly shocked. I didn't understand what to do, and it was time for the deities to rest. But I did request Sukeshwari Mataji, she in ISV temple, and she went post eating time, because again the higher principle, we consulted with our head pujari Ramanand Sakha Prabhu what to do. The girl didn't turn up, and the cook Krishna didn't eat today. So there was, of course, there was difference of opinion. Some Vaishnavas said it's okay, put him to rest. Some Vaishnavas felt no, it's better to feed him anyways. So them, the deities. So Sakeshwari Mataji, she immediately ran. She took a shower. She went. And though the deities were put to rest by the next person who was serving the deities, they were actually, at least offered a little bit bhoga. She cooked immediately. She cooked and she offered a little bit and again put them to rest. So situations. So look at the situation, come to a consensus. I mean, there's nothing like, technically it should all go correctly. But anything can happen. But we should remember how best we can serve the deities depending on time, place and circumstance and serve them. So this is what happened. It's like a real life example. I'm just telling. Unfortunate, but it happened. Yeah. But the deities ate and then they went to bed. That was like such a relief. It was a big relief. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing that also. Yeah, definitely we'll have to look at what the situation is.
But you definitely don't want to run into such situations, like when the deities don't eat. That's the worst thing that can happen. I think that's the worst thing that can happen. Yeah, if the deities are not fed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mataji, and please forgive me, Mataji. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brinda Gopika Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I have a question. Sometimes Vaishnav, like our brother, they are following Shishi Swaminarayan Pant. They came and we have to go outside with them. So we get up early morning and half japa we complete and half we cook prasadam for Shishi Gaur Nitai and we offer only one meal morning and then afternoon we are not him. Evening time we offer fruits. Is it okay, Mataji? It is not happen every time. Once in a year or two time it's happened, but still it feel guilty and sometimes we are doing seva in the temple and not able to do seva in the home. So
Yeah, as you said, at least, our home deities, you set your standard. I think it's individual's decision to set a standard and for home deities. And at least one grain meal is a good idea. If you're not able to offer the second grain meal, at least fruits. So happens to everyone, right? Sometimes you're held up in the temple service. Happens to everyone. Happened to me so many times, yeah. So we offer fruits. Just that, it's all your... how you want to take care of your deities, Mataji. These are a little personal, like your relationship with your deities, but at least like how we would take care of our own family members, we would not let them go hungry. We'll at least offer fruits. If that can be done, that is the best. Yeah. That is best, Mataji.
One meal every offer month. Like us 7:15, it's too early, but still we offer dal, chawal, chapati, sabji. And afternoon, kids will offer fruits, but
evening sometimes it may be a grain meal, may not be. So we can set our standards at home.
Sometimes when the guest comes, then only happen.
Yeah, but just treat them like your own family members, so then you'll have it. So, yeah.
And we can offer a dry laddu or dry sukhdi or whatever we have at home for 7-8 days.
For 7-8 days?
We make it laddu. For sushi laddu.
Yeah.
Dry prasadam.
Dry prasad, yeah. From time to time we can offer that.
No, when we are not at home.
It depends on how you want to. Everyone has their standard at home. Some people travel with their deities or some people leave their deities with someone or some people keep dried food. So you decide, Mataji. I mean, these things are custom made. They are not general. Temple deity standard is standard common. Home deities, I think you can consult with whomever you are comfortable with and come to a decision privately. Yeah.
Huh.
But if this is the standard you have set from the beginning, you can continue with that standard. No problem.
And we take Shishi Gaur Nitai, Jagannath Balram, Subhadrani is not possible, but Laddu Gopal we take with us. So whatever, even where we are going, the DOT will cook prasadam and by Gopinath mercy we get
That's it, yeah.
Nice prasadam.
Yes, Mataji. Yeah.
And you can keep the dried food and fruits and other things for your other deities. That's what many people do, actually. You don't travel with big deities. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Very nice storytelling, as everybody said. So beautifully narrated, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Bol.
Hare Bol, Mataji. Vinita, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. It's a long time ago now, but I'm wondering if you still remember Mother Phaneshri Mataji's point.
Vaishnavi Shri Mataji has also texted what she wanted to say, so I'm going to read that. I think especially for us here today, we don't really have to worry much about our next meal, but so many people, especially now in places of war and turmoil, even the next meal is not guaranteed. We should eat fully conscious of the grace of Krishna in every handful of prasadam. So Phaneshwari Mataji was telling us that every meal, even traditionally in India, it's always told by our parents and our grandparents that every meal is written for you. If it's written on your head, then every grain has your name on it. That's what they say, right? The translation of those sayings. So if it's written for you, you will get it. So you should always feel grateful. Whenever you take every morsel of food, you should feel grateful. Mm. And thank Krishna that today you had the opportunity to eat his prasadam, his remnants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what
you said. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for your class.
Thank you, Mataji.
Add one more thing. Can you hear me any better?
So, anything else? But we can end the call. So thank you all so much again.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. Very, very such a beautiful class. And you just narrate very nicely the Lord's pastime. I always hear and I always love your association and class too. Like yours class, Keti Das Sundari Mataji, all of them so far class. Very nice. And I learned so many things, whatever I had a question in my mind. But I already got the answer, whatever the Vrinda Gopika Mataji asked you. So it's very nice. So when I just do the Bhakti Sangha class, I got all my answers so very nicely. So it's very, very wonderful, Mataji. And you narrated all verses and everything, story about Lord pastime very nicely, Mataji. Such an enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future, Mataji. And if nobody have any question, we can end the call here.
Mataji, one second, please.
Sure, Mataji.
After hearing from last 2.5 years, Krishna Katha, Krishna Pam, Bhakti Sangha, all the teachers, Mataji, Drashti said, she's hearing attentively Ajit Jaipata Kamaraj, Ajit Radhanath Marak lecture. She said, Ma, I also wants to come Shriram Vrindavan Dham. I said, the mercy of Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani, Shri Gaur Nitai, Shri Jagannath, Balram Subhadra Rani, then only Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani's mercy we can enter in Dham. So she said, every day I will give a water to Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani and I will say evening very time nice. Tulsi Maharani prayer. So thank you to all Bhakti Sangha teachers.
All really go then. Hari Hari, wonderful.
Hari Hari Bol. Yeah.
Okay.
Vancha Kalpataru Jashka Krupa Sindhu Gyayuvacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. श्री चैतन्य भागवत की जय
श्रील
प्रभुपाद की जय हर ग्रेस प्रीति विलासिनी माता जी की
जय
जय ऑल द डिवोटीज ऑन द कॉल जय श्रील प्रभुपाद जय श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत
जय श्रील प्रभुपाद थैंक यू माता जी हरे कृष्ण माता जी धन्यवाद थैंक यू सो मच
माता जी
हरे कृष्ण